Blog Talk Radio.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. In time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. In the street, singing songs and a carrying sign, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Yeah, I muted the microphone while that was playing because I got a bad habit of singing in the background. All right. Let's see if I can get this show on the road and see what we got going on. Well, today being November the 2nd of 2016, and this is pretty much Question Everything, episode number 8. I am your host, Jim Gray, or Jimmy Gray. I found out today that there's some other Yahoo out there that goes by the name of Jim Gray that happens to be on TV and real famous or some kind of moderately famous and all that. I'm not him. So there's how that goes. Mikey, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. That was good, Jimmy. I enjoyed that. The last minute, that's been fantastic. Best opening I've heard in a long time. Seriously, though, you do have a lot to say, and there's lots of people out there that you may not be aware of that do, in fact, listen to what you've got to say. They may not actively raise their hand and participate, but there's lots of people who do really look at what you have to say because you have a certain way of saying it. And so, yes, this I welcome this evening.
It's like I've said before, I've been kind of trying to get my feet back under me, get my sea legs under me, get some technical situations dealt with and so on and so forth. And that's why I haven't been pushing really, really super hard. Not only that, I am lousy at self-promotion. If there was any one thing that I needed to learn how to do, it would be self-promotion.
There you go.
And, of course, we know that there are others that are like self-promote, 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 and he'll be here shortly, or he'll be around shortly, and he'll have something to say, I'm sure. But anyway,
that's funny.
Well, okay, it's not false modesty here. Do we have a time delay going on?
Why do you say that?
Well, I was, never mind. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe I don't quite. I had some Java coffee a while ago with that energy stuff in it, so this might just get all kinds of twisted out of the way. And you can already tell the voices are coming out.
These are some of the voices in my head.
But anyway.
All right. Serious. Okay, so what's up, Jimmy?
Well, not a lot of anything. I was listening today to something. I don't remember what it was, probably Alex Jones. And they were going on about this, that, or the other. And it something crossed my mind. Of course, we all know we've got this up-and-coming election. We all know that both sides are trying to use the government in one way, form, or fashion to kind of tie the hands of the other side. And
right.
I got to thinking about something. You know, a lot of the folks on one side, they're like, oh, if Trump gets in, he'll be the great white savior and all this good stuff. And then the Hillary side, you know, they're like, if Trump gets in, he's going to, put black people back in chains. Okay. Of course, if Hillary gets in, there's, it's more of the same old, and just crank it. I mean, if you think that she got away with a lot of crap being the Secretary of Defense, hey, make her the president and put her in charge of the largest military in the world and see what she does. There's a sadistic part of me that hopes she gets in just to see what happens.
Well, Jimmy, I agree with you in that respect completely, but also in respect that I can't wait until Trump is elected, because then all of the people who are in such such enamored over what he says. That's the thing that bothers me. It's not so much what he can do, because he's not going to be able to do very much. You can already see his inability to manipulate the GOP, and the GOP is not going to be out of office anytime soon. They're always going to be there, at least in part. So it's going to be just as difficult for him to get anything done as it's been Obama to get anything done, right, wrong, or indifferent. The thing is, I hope Trump is elected. I really do. A, I hate Hillary and what she stands for. And B, because I want the people of America to see, hopefully, how asleep they've always been. Because this is going to be an eye-opener either way. Either way, Jimmy. It's going to be an eye-opener.
It is.
And let me tell you something. And I didn't think about this, but I'm making it a point. I'm going to have a radio show Monday night, November the 7th, prior to the election. And that's what the show is going to be about, the election process and what it means and what it doesn't mean, what people think it means and what it actually is. From my perspective, not necessarily from anybody else's perspective, but just my perspective. And then we'll see after that, after the show on Monday night, what's going to be the case come Tuesday when the polls are open from the east to the west. And I promise you, I can tell you this right now, Trump will win the popular vote. There's no doubt about that. But he will not win the electorate. That I can promise you. It's going to be close, but it's going to be a no-win situation for Mr. Trump, because he doesn't control California. He doesn't control New York. He doesn't control Illinois. And any of the states that have the most electoral votes, he doesn't have those states. Without those states, he can't win. It's an impossibility. I mean,
okay.
Six, one, half dozen,
the other.
That's it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So anyway, I'm sorry. I apologize for taking the grandstand, but I just wanted to mention to you guys, there's going to be situations pop up next week that people aren't going to like. They better be ready. That's all I can tell them.
Well, I know something that's popping up left and right now. FBI is going after Hillary, for one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. They're going to nail her, and they should. I mean, she's the biggest criminal that, you know, really and truly,
now,
how anybody could look at the headlines and not realize that she is blows my mind. It just blows my mind. Explain
okay,
that to
well,
me.
Okay, well, what
Jimmy,
blows my mind is anybody that reads headlines off the newspaper and thinks that that has anything to do with a reflection of the real world.
Mm.
That's one thing that blows my mind.
Well,
I mean, honestly,
I can
okay,
agree.
First off, we're not the ones paying these people to report the news. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We've got Bayer, and we've got, you know, Big Pharma, and we've got big agricultural and the industrial military industrial complex. We got all these other big organizations that are actually paying for the news. Okay, so we think we're going to get something out of that actually is going to help us in any way, form, or fashion. Forget about it.
Yeah, right. Right.
One of the things that earlier frame of thought, you know, I was thinking earlier, you know, what happens if Hillary gets in? What happens if Trump gets in? And then it kind of dawned on me that, you know that saying, it's a biblical thing, as above, so below? Let's take the federal government and look at it like it's a monopoly board, in all sincerity. And in the beginning, the original monopoly rule book is our Constitution.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
But now you watch a bunch of people, you know, as they're playing the Monopoly game, and as there are more and more people that this is an ongoing Monopoly game. This one never ends.
Yeah.
The bank can never go broke in this Monopoly game. As a matter of fact, I'd kind of like to see this acted out. You know, get a whole stadium full of people to play one Monopoly game.
Oh, that would be interesting
okay, because,
to say.
Well, I think it would be because at some point in time, you know, you've only got so many players and there's only so many properties. So you're going to have players merging and forming these, like, corporate ideas, right?
Right.
Little mini corporations, okay? And in order to just for grins and giggles, we can even try to put them on a legitimate monetary system in the beginning where everybody in the stadium has X number of dollars, and they can kind of throw money in and buy into the corporation that's represented on the board. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, in the beginning, you'll have one person that's the dog, but then, you know, as things grow, things get much, much bigger, and you have more people, so now that dog's going to represent 300 people.
You know what? Jimmy, I'm going to tell you something. I saw a meme today that when you said the dog, it kicked us off. It's a picture of Hillary and somebody from Monaco pulling up in this beautiful vehicle saying, can I get an invite? And Hillary said, as long as you write a check for $20 million to my dog. When you said that, bingo, that popped up into my head. Don't ask me why, but I thought that was kind of cool. Wanted to throw that in.
Well, that works. And that graphic that you, when you put the show together, that graphic that you put on wherever, whether it was on Facebook or what, I liked that graphic. That was great.
Yeah.
What was it that it said? I don't remember exactly what it said.
Well, I could tell you, but
irony.
It had to do with irony. Yes.
It had to do with irony. A statist telling an anarchist that he's bad for the. Whatever, something like that. It was, I thought it was great. Anyway, back to this Monopoly game. Okay, back to this Monopoly game for a second. As the game grows, as the number of people participating in the game grows, you can have these committees for changing the rules. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, at some point in time, these rules and these committees and these little corporate minions and all this stuff, is going to get so large, it's so convoluted and so out of whack. And you're going to have people, you know, they land on Boardwalk and, you know, they'll be citing some subclause in some act over here that gives them the right to land on Boardwalk and only, you know, pay a tenth of the fee or whatever the case may be, or actually get paid for landing on Boardwalk. Okay? So at some point in time, things are going to get so convoluted, okay, that someone gets to stand up and say, okay, we got to figure out what to do and make this reasonable again. We've got to simplify this, make it make sense. Okay? So
yeah, I agree.
Do we have committees? Do we have committees go back through the revised rules?
No. Well, no, you don't.
What do you do, Mikey?
Right. Well, but see, here's the thing, though, Jimmy. This is what.
Okay, wait. Now you're going off on a tangent or something, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I am. I'm getting ready to. But go ahead, finish your thought. But I do want to get back to this because there's reasons for all of this stuff. I'm not saying the reasons are good, bad, or indifferent. I'm not saying any of that. The only thing I'm saying is that with the rules that we currently have in place that we have to go by, whether we like it or not, legally, illegally, whatever the case may be, we have a certain set of rules we have to follow. If we don't follow those rules, then you're overthrowing the character of everything that was put before you. All right, now, is that
okay, well,
right, wrong?
Hold on.
All right, go ahead.
Let's look at that for a minute because you kind of laid down the framework there. Okay?
Yeah.
If you're dealing with the original game of Monopoly, that's the original frame. That was the, what was the phrase you just used? The original framework or whatever?
Right, right.
Suitable. The rules are there. The rules are suitable. The rules are printed on the inside lid of the box. Okay? Now, there's two choices you have. You can either start from scratch and throw out all these amended rules and all this crap and start from scratch, or you can go through the time, expense, and manipulation of trying to go through each individual new, I'm going to call them amendments because that's exactly what they would be. These would be amendments to the original rules. And if you try to,
kind
of
like
if everybody
amendments
tries
to
go through. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, of course, let me think about this a second. What was the original established rules, laws of the country? That's a good question. Because the Declaration of Independence was its set of laws and rules. And then there was the whatever. Anyway, the point being, at some point in time, you have to go back and start from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
You have
yeah,
to go back to
definitely.
The established rules and start over. Because the majority of the amendments passed the first 10. Okay, and the reason that they come up with the first 10 amendments, if I'm remembering correctly, that they call the Bill of Rights, is because there was nothing that set anything down on paper that said these are the natural God-given rights that you have. So people wanted that first 10 amendments to kind of build a framework within, bind the federal government down. Okay? But just about
I'm
every
listening.
Amendment since then has been to somehow or another circumvent the original 10.
Well, you see, the first thing is, though, Jimmy, is that people have to realize right off the get-go, the Declaration of Independence is one thing. The Constitution is something else altogether, even though those two documents and other documents all really were one document written in four different phases. The first 10 amendments,
right,
the Constitution,
they all
dovetail
together
nothing,
and build
yeah,
upon each other.
Right, build upon each other, which is was the purpose in the beginning. The interesting thing is the first 10 amendments to the Constitution are nothing more than restating the Bill of Rights that was written prior to the Constitution. being written and accepted. Okay, so everybody has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But what's happened, or at least what I see, is that people have taken that to an extreme in that, well, my individual rights supersedes anybody else's individual rights. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. A person.
Okay, now hold on a second. Hold on. Mm-hmm. A person's individual rights are a person's individual rights, as long as they aren't causing harm to another, do supersede another person. Everybody
that's
has the
right.
same rights. It is not until they start. Fix your microphone.
What I'm saying is that my right to my beliefs are mine, as long as
yes.
they are inherently mine. In other words, by that, I don't throw those out as catch-alls for every loose person that's running up and down the road. I mean, the point that I'm making is that what I believe to be true for me are true for me, not necessarily true for you or anybody who's listening. But we all have individual rights. As long as those rights do not supersede someone else's, like, for example, if I've got a neighbor who bales 10 bales of hay a day and I bale 12, does my need for 12 plus bales supersede his need to only bale 10? Well, not necessarily.
No, but that doesn't have any bearing on this. That really doesn't have any bearing on this.
Yes,
my original point behind all of this.
It's all about
no,
belief.
Michael.
Okay,
Michael,
go ahead.
My original point behind all of this was, are we going to, if someone's going to come along and fix the United States, are they going to do it piecemeal, one little law, rule, regulation, policy, department, bureaucratic establishment? Are they going to do it one little piece at a time, or do you start over? Which is more
okay. Well, probably.
Which actually gets the job done to start with.
Well, both would get the job done. The question is, how quick do you want the job done? I mean, you either dump the system completely and start all over, or you take what you've got and restructure it so that it's basic and inherent to the people's needs of this country. I mean, it just astounds me today, in reality, how political our resolutions have become in this world. I mean, if you look at Republicanism now versus being a Republican back in the 60s, they're two totally different fucking creatures. Totally. Okay?
Yes.
It's
they
the
are
same,
two
same,
totally different creatures. It's because
right.
everybody and, seems to think that they've got some reason to be able to tell you how to live your life.
That's right. How do we get away from that, Jimmy? That's my biggest question. Is
well,
how do
one
we
of the
get
things
away
that I've been thinking that? About thing is resetting the game back to the original rules. Okay,
uh-huh.
You don't like that analogy? That's fine. I can do that. Not a problem. An EMP blast over the central United States would serve the same purpose. It would put us back in the 1800s.
Yeah,
technologically
it would.
Speaking,
real quick, it would.
But it would do the same thing. And yes, there would be a massive die-off in the beginning. But there would be people survive that.
Right.
And they won't be surviving it because of the government coming and giving them a hand. They'll survive it because they stand up, they recognize, they observe with their own five senses, and they look around and they see what's going on, and they make decisions. First on an individual level, then on a group level. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's the
mm-hmm.
same thing. In all reality, it would be the same thing. Let's wipe the board, start over with the original set of rules, Now, of course, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who thinks he's got a little bit of money and political clout will try immediately get in there somehow and mess with the inner workings. Whereas an EMP blast over the central United States, that would, well, actually, three of them, East Coast,
right,
Central,
right,
and West Coast. That
right.
would reset the whole thing, and it wouldn't make a not a bit of difference as to who had what kind of perceived power, perceived wealth, or perceived control, because every bit of that would evaporate in an instant.
Okay,
now,
well,
imagine
that,
somebody
now,
in Washington, D.C. trying to tell Texas how to behave under those situations,
well,
under that setup.
I understand exactly what you're saying, because, you know, I've said it time and time again, you know, we as human beings were gregarious, and by that means that we don't like being alone. We like being with other human beings. But being gregarious,
or
we
tribal.
Also very tribal, and that's the appropriate, most exact word a person could use, very tribal, in that we associate with those who have beliefs and or likes, as do we. Okay, and so that's very understandable. Now, but listen, Jimmy, I know because of the circumstances, you don't have access to this, but we have a caller with their hand up that's a frequent caller of the show that I think may have something to add. Would you like to bring them
in? One of the usual suspects? Well, which one
yeah,
of the usual suspects is it?
This is 1664. He's one of the good suspects.
We have bad suspects? Dude, you realize by saying that one's good, that automatically implies that we have bad suspects.
Okay, that was a bad choice of words on my part, because you're absolutely right. When you express a positive, there's always a negative. If you never mind. I'm going to bring this guy in, okay? And because I think he probably has something interesting to add to this discussion. But it's your show. Jimmy, you make the call, yay or nay.
Well, let's go for it and see what happens.
All right.
Do you have a number I can text you on? You don't even have a phone number I can text you on, do you? Because that's
the
only other way I have to communicate with you. You do.
Yeah. Well, You can message me anytime on my cell phone. It's just my cell phone doesn't work because, like an idiot, for some reason I plugged it into a 120-volt circuit without a capacitor or anything like that. So it was boom. So now I can't talk and or hear anything on my cell phone. I can see all kinds of stuff, but, you know. Anyway.
Well, let's bring this person in.
All right.
We'll give him an initial
5 minutes. You're live.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up? I do have an answer. Are you ready?
Go for it.
What's the question? Wait a minute, because everything's blown out of proportion here. What's the question?
Where do you start? I'm going to tell you.
Okay, when you try to reset everything and fix everything, that's the question,
In 1934, Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared a state of emergency and threw us into this series of bankruptcies. And that never expired. In 1950,
of course not.
Harry
We're still under it.
Harry S. Truman declared a second one for the Korean conflict or whatever was mounting there. In 70 and 71, Nixon declared two more. Took us off the gold
standard. You mean 1971?
Yep. So now, what you got to do?
Because I think you said 1771.
Mr. President Jimmy Gray or Mr. President Michael Connelly, is you've got to declare us out of that state of emergency. And then you got your Constitution back.
Well, that's
like we were declared into them.
You know what? I agree with you, but that's playing the legalese version. And by playing the legalese version, you're opening it up for the plaintiff or the defendant to come in and screw the pooch again.
No, you're really not. You're leaving it open if somebody wants to declare another state of emergency if they think they could get away with it. But, you know, most people aren't feeling an emergency, so they don't realize that we're under a state of emergency. They think that we have a constitution and that, oh, my Second Amendment rights. No, that's actually suspended, technically. So, you
well,
know,
aren't we still
start.
Under a declaration? Aren't we also still under a declaration of war from the North Korean situation?
Every two years we are under a state of war. They declare a war on drugs,
a war on poverty. Right. So every 2 years they basically re-up it to keep us in a state of emergency.
Well,
the state of war
is different. That's so they can collect the personal income tax on your wages.
How is that business? Okay, well, that explains why Greenspan would never answer the question.
Right. You see,
they
can do it constitutionally. They can collect an income tax, but they can only do it for 2 years. Even if the war lasts 4 years. Under a state of war.
Well, okay, here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at trying to actually fix things, okay? And you know, right now I don't care whether it's an EMP blast or Trump comes in and says, let's arrest Congress. I don't care how it gets fixed. And
okay,
no,
well,
Trump's
what
probably
saying,
not going to follow
saying,
my example.
What I'm saying is that that's how the system got broken. So you can undo that stuff and make a step, two steps in the right direction.
Okay. Those would be like an opening volley. I got you.
Right. That puts us back
followed
on track, and we have a constitution.
Congress.
You know, then you got to start by getting us out of stupid treaties, like cutting the mooring lines to the UN and pushing it out in the East River.
Oh man, I'd like to be
like
there
that.
For that.
Yeah. You know, forget about the TPP.
Yeah, that's got to go bye-bye. NAFTA and
GATT
need to go away. Enforce the borders. That needs to happen. But you see, every common sense thing that we put forth like that is, you know, for instance, bringing us back to the original 13 or the original amendments to the Constitution, for instance. Every time we try to bring up something like that, somebody else is going to be standing there saying, well, that means you want to bring back slavery. And some stupid, idiotic lack of logic. And I just want to shoot those people in the face.
Forgive me if I'm wrong,
you know,
but isn't there something that says all men are created equal? Isn't it already there?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
So who needs a 13th and 14th Amendment that enslave everybody?
Well, the one that referred to the titles of nobility, we need that.
Oh yes,
we need to get all of these lawyers out of, you know, politics to start with. That's just ridiculous. Hey, let's give the Reichsters the ability to tax us and everything else.
That was the 13th Amendment about the titles of nobility.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the original 13th that they forgot about and decided to ink over with something else.
Well, the sad part about it is it was ratified. They found the single and sole surviving copy of the Ohio mandate that was the state that was necessary, the 13th state or whatever it was at the time, to ratify the amendment. But it never.
Well, wait.
What
happened?
For whatever reason,
we needed 3/4 of the state. Okay.
Right.
And without Ohio,
the existing state
without Ohio,
time.
Without Ohio being included as a state, we
right.
had 3/4 of the states. Now, Ohio wasn't a state at the time that other states ratified it, so we had 3/4.
Right. Right.
It
but
was already. It
the,
was already there. It was an amendment. It was ratified, and it
no,
is
no.
in various. It was ratified. It's in various law books or law library books in states like Connecticut and Even out in like Iowa or somewhere, Idaho maybe, or somewhere like that, they have them on the books in the law libraries.
Okay,
the,
well,
the original
I'm not gonna
13th Amendment.
I'm not going to argue with you about
that. I'll send you a video on that. And
well,
the
I mean,
the whole thing.
You know, you can send video after video after video. I can tell you for a fact the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment, was in fact ratified by Ohio, and it was thrown into the dust because they didn't want, and a new one was written. I've got a copy of the original.
Well, what happens in
right
the war of 1812?
What I'm trying to tell you is, it doesn't matter. That was the original amendment, and it was ratified. So it is still legal to this day. But our government
yes.
will recognize that, and that's where the fucking problem begins.
Hey,
nobody,
language!
Sorry.
That too.
Okay.
He's passionate. He's very passionate tonight.
I'm very passionate about this because it's extremely important for people to understand, you know, that lawyers were never, ever meant to be put on the stage. They were always supposed to be the people
who just...
Not as
public servants.
Right.
You can be an expert in law and be in office, but you cannot hold the title of Esquire.
Bingo.
Or be a member of the British Accredited Registry.
Well, see, that's all bogus.
And Michael's microphone went south again.
Yeah, I know. There's actually nothing in the Constitution that says that you have to... I mean, there's nothing that says you can't go into court and speak for your sister. There's nothing that says that in the, or your next-door neighbor. You can advocate.
Well,
well,
and they've done all of that through precedents.
But you have to do
that,
though.
They've done all of that through precedents.
That's
well,
not
but you,
law. That's not the law of the land.
I understand.
Well, okay. You know what? We could sit here and we could discuss this as yes or no, yin or yang. I mean, as long as that you've got two, a positive and a negative, you're going to have a rebuff no matter where you go, okay? So the thing of it is,
mm-hmm.
in this regard, what we're discussing really is strictly a matter of how one believes and feels. And I know Jimmy's probably cringing at the moment because this goes back to the show.
Eyes are rolling. Oh.
But
he
the thing of it
just
is,
kicked back and did a shot of Jack.
But the thing of it is, though, the reality of it is, you have to look at you as an individual in order to understand the realm of things around you. Otherwise, you can't. I mean, it's like all this crap. I mean, you know, I get up in the morning, I turn my computer on, I'm looking, and the screen is just screen after screen after screen after screen of nothing but stuff that I don't give a crap about. You know, I don't care if GMC can get a 10.1 Mach car to go X amount of miles on X amount of hydrogen. I don't give a crap about that. You know, I don't care about
the
World
Series.
Do you know how they
actually pulled this off? They chipped away at the
Which
stump.
Part?
Okay, and when they do it, they take a chip off, and nobody says, "Oh, gee, they must not be allowed to do that because they did it." Nobody, you know, if the government
I'm confused.
Does it, they
I have
must
no
be
idea
allowed
what
to
you
do
just
it.
Said.
They must be allowed to do it because they did it. That's the belief system. If the government does it, they must be allowed to do it. There hasn't been anybody, up until the last few years, there hasn't been anybody standing up and saying, wait a minute, they can't do that. You know, now you got people screaming in the streets that they can't do it, and nobody believes it. They say, what do you mean they can't do it? They did it.
Right, that's the perception. That's where
yeah,
perception
that's
comes
belief.
In.
There you
doesn't
go.
Mean it's true,
there
but that's the belief.
Thank you, Craig.
The government did it. They can stop you at a roadblock. It doesn't encroach on your right to travel? They're going to let you go, maybe.
Well, see, they use a lot of they use a lot of bait and switch on a lot of this stuff. For instance, they'll claim jurisdiction, which jurisdiction, when you break it down to Latin, basically means to speak the law.
That's,
and they're not laws,
okay.
They're codes.
So,
they're all codes.
Because, well,
some traffic laws are codes.
I understand. They call it laws, but it's traffic codes. Yeah, I got that. And see, this is where a lot of things get confusing and yada, 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 and the EPA comes out with policies and enforces them as if they're laws. And the next thing you know, you're paying three or four times the amount for electricity because they decided to use policy to shut down all of the coal plants. Which put all of the See, that's the thing I find hilarious. There's all these people out there that are like, well, if we pare down the size of the government, that'll sure put a lot of people out of work. What about the coal workers? What about the automobile workers? Or the steel workers?
Global warming is a scam. A climate change.
Well, exactly.
Whoa. But wait a minute. Hold on. Before we get there, let me respond to what you guys just got through saying. I mean, you know, because this, Craig, you've gone off into another orbit, which is okay. I don't care. But I still want to respond to this other stuff.
Okay.
First and foremost, with people per se, they're going to do what the environment teaches them to do. It's like the coal versus the non-coal business. I don't care which one you use, as long as the one you use is used efficiently. That's all that fucking matters to me. And what does efficient mean
language,
to me?
Language, strike three, dude, seriously.
That's it. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want a lot of crap being dumped out on to the trees and the vegetation for us humans to have to consume. I don't want any of that bullshit. Tell me what you're going to do environmentally if I say, okay, utilize that coal, which is mine because I'm an inhabitant of the
now,
planet.
Hold on. The only reason that I brought up coal is because everybody's all worried about all the government workers being put out of business. The idea was nobody worried about everybody else that's getting put out of business at the same time. Nobody worried about all of the lumberjacks up in Utah. Okay, but the what I'm trying to get to here what is the quickest and most efficient way to solve the majority of the problems that we have right now as a country? And it starts out with, in my opinion, by shutting down the federal government and starting over from scratch.
Well, I agree with Jimmy. I promise you, Jimmy, I agree with that 1,000%. I mean, honestly, shut the government down. Okay, there's going to be some problems that people are not going to be aware of, even when you tell them in a massive fashion, hey, you're going to be fucked for the next 4 or 5 days in terms of communication.
Hey, Mikey, what has happened to your tongue lately, dude? Seriously.
Sorry.
You're dropping F-bombs left and right.
I know, because I'm angry right now, but I do apologize, Jimmy. I'm sorry. I promise you, I will not use that word again. But in view of what I was referencing, the thing of it is as long as we as a people allow this kind of nonsense to go on in our lives, like where we are having a fight between fossil fuels and non-fossil fuels, let's find a situation that works, not necessarily one that benefits a specific party, which is what is happening
now. Okay, I can solve that right now, and it's been shut down by big business, big fuel. It's been shut down by the energy department.
Right.
When you take water and split it into its base components, you have hydrogen and oxygen, when together are highly explosive.
Right.
and they can be used to run an internal combustion engine. That's just one example. Well, here's part of what I'm trying to get to. They're using policies and everything else to, or even patent law to shut down innovation. Okay.
Well, one of the problems they have with hydrogen is to make it, to turn it into the fuel, it takes more energy than is efficient. It
That's
actually takes more energy
you.
To separate the hydrogen to, so that you can use it for the fuel.
Then real short, sweet, and simple. In Europe, during the Second World War, they had these gasifiers that they would put on the back of vehicles in order to create a combustible gas that they could run their cars on. Now, on a great big central controlled scenario like that, yeah, that's probably way too energy, probably
taxing. Yeah,
probably, yeah, it probably costs too much to do it from a centralized system. But a decentralized system, let's put it this way. And this is not a slam at Mike in any way, form, or fashion, but I'm just kind of, because sometimes technologically, Mikey, he can wire things up left and right, but, you know, tech gets away from him, I take it. Okay? Michael.
Yeah, look what he did to his cell phone.
Yeah, no
I
kidding.
Know.
Michael can put two plates on a piece. Michael can run two wires to two plates, put it in water, run the two wires to a DC battery, and generate his own hydrogen and oxygen supply just from water.
Yes.
But see, here's the thing. That is a decentralized system that nobody can control. And that's why they don't want it happening. Here's
well,
an even better idea. Separate the hydrogen and oxygen inside the device, vent the oxygen out to the air, and just run the hydrogen as the explosive gas to the intake. It's pulling in oxygen as the internal combustion engine pulls in. So there's your oxygen. You're pumping in hydrogen. There's your internal combustion right there. There's your energy source. And guess what? Has nothing to do with fossil fuels. Has nothing to do with coal fuels. And what is the byproduct? What is that stuff? Water vapor.
Yeah, but where your problem comes in, Jim, is you have to charge the battery. And to charge the battery, it's going to take more hydrogen than you're getting hydrogen out of the system. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because
so the efficiency isn't there.
You know, okay. But see, again, solar power. Set your hydrogen, what do they call that? Your separating device on solar power and be done with it. And again, I'm talking about individual, not a big centralized system. I'm talking about individual, you know, people just, you know, however many solar cells they need to be able to create the amount of hydrogen they'll need for the next day. That's how many solar cells they wire it to.
I was in a discussion with somebody a few weeks ago. They were talking about those tiles that they were talking about putting in roads. And I explained
what?
To them, I said, that's a great idea. These solar tiles that they were talking about building roads out of. And
that was a hoax.
What the problem is, it was not an awful idea, but, you know, you run 100,000 cars over the day. They're not going to even get their wear in their life expectancy. You're not going to get them to even pay for themselves.
Okay.
You know, by the time you
see,
set the whole thing up, they're going to be wearing out too
here
fast.
Is, the whole thing here is, okay, I'm looking for solutions, not problems. We already know what the problems are. We've got an overextended federal government that's got their hands in everything that we do. Okay. And we need to get them out. We can't do it piecemeal. It's not going to happen. Everything's been geared toward to the benefit of the corporations. We need to shut down the corporations.
Well,
I know a lot of people
bring back
like, well,
you bring back the Constitution. You bring back the Constitution and you get rid of all the alphabet agencies, and there you are. You got what you wanted.
Well, that's what I would like to see. I know that.
What? I was just sitting here listening to you guys. I mean, you know, the whole thing in a nutshell is it doesn't really make a damn as to whether, you know, you live inside of a lead-shielded box or not. You cannot be kept out of the loop of worldly knowledge if you want to be a part of the world. For example, no, never mind. Y'all talk. Right now I've got my mind going through 1,000 different things, and it's not what needs to be thought about. So, later.
Well, all right.
What just happened?
We're just about at the top of the hour anyway. I don't know what happened. We're just about at the top of the hour anyway. Mikey, can you run some the promos and the stuff like that? We can take a quick break.
Yeah, that'll work. I'll do the promos and a quick song, and then we'll come right back.
Okay.
Hello everyone, my name is Suzanne Marr and I'm founder of Bye Bye Blue Sky, and we have a passion for the planet. Bye Bye Blue Sky is a dedicated global public environmental movement who seeks to be a voice for all living creatures and ecosystems, and to protect human health and safeguard the natural environment, air, water, and land which our sustenance depends. We use education, peaceful protest, and creative communication to expose one of the world's largest and most significant ecological threats and preeminent disasters, commonly known as climate engineering or chemtrails. Please visit our website, byebyebluesky.com, and learn the truth about the sinister aerosol spraying. There are many media articles, patents, government white papers, which are available on our site, which attest to these programs. We also have awareness items, bumper stickers, t-shirts, which can be purchased, and brochures and business cards, which can be downloaded and distributed. There are a number of ongoing Bye Bye Blue Sky GoFundMe billboard campaigns in North America. The link's available on our website. I encourage everyone to donate to these billboards. A few dollars can save the planet. Please also join Bye Bye Blue Sky on our Facebook page of the same name and meet dedicated and like minds. Thank you.
All right, Jimmy, you're live again, brother.
Yep, I had to find my mute button again, shut that off. Okay. Let's see what we can do to kind of try to get this back on track. I'm of the opinion that doesn't matter who gets elected, we're not going to be able to get anything really straightened out because the warring factions are going to do everything they can to roadblock everything that's being done legally. They're going to use their own legalese roadblocks. So how do we fix, like Craig said a while ago, get us out of a state of war or get us out of a state of bankruptcy, whichever one. Of course, we actually need to be in bankruptcy again. Get us out of a state of emergency. Okay, if let's say Trump tries to do that, and the next thing you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's on the other side is going to be trying to get it either blocked or right back in it. So how do we the people fix that? And me personally, I'm kind of leaning towards the whole EMP thing myself, you know. Fortunately for them, I don't have the resources to do that. But
it's a little extreme.
Well, I mean, really, Craig, I don't think it's all that extreme when you think about it. I mean, the reality of it is that we as a human race, population, whatever you want to call us, right now is a turning point in our lives. People don't realize how big this is and how big this Trump Hillary thing is. I mean, this is a very big point in the history of the U.S. And I'm worried because I don't think that we the people have the collective knowledge that God gave a frigging squirrel. Don't think we do. You know, and that worries me.
That's a problem.
Well, that's a problem.
That's fairly accurate. 115,000 hours of education to teach them, you know, that the government is important for this. Yeah, indoctrination.
Exactly.
And that's pretty much all it is.
Yep.
You know,
didn't
some of Hillary's recently released emails from the DNC, weren't they talking about the fact they needed a dumbed-down population in order to be able to continue their power?
Yes, that's exactly. I mean, it wasn't word for word that, but the inference was a very big inference there in that it was important for the government to be involved in the education of the children to understand the needs of America tomorrow. That was very much there. What does that tell you? It is. That's exactly what it is, Craig. I mean, that's where the problem. It's not so much that me, you, and Jimmy may disagree on this, that, or the other thing. That's going to happen no matter what. The deal is, though, is that when you control the kids at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you control the world, and that's what they're trying to do.
Well, that's what they've been doing for a very long time.
Right, right. But people, here's the question, Jimmy. What do we do? What do you and I and Craig do to stop this shit at the level we're at?
Well, the best that I can come up with, we redesign our own lives to be suitable for us in a manner that does not buy into their system to the best of our ability. We grow our own food. We generate our own energy. We live our own lives. We educate as many people as we can. But see, we can't force feed anybody this stuff.
Oh.
Okay, you told me earlier in the day, Mike, you told me specifically earlier in the day that there were 10 or 15 people tagging you to find out what was going to be on tonight's show. That idea floored me, okay?
Yeah.
And now, here's the thing. They're not, if they're still tuning in, they're tuning in voluntarily.
That's right.
I'm hoping, you know, that these are people that are like, okay, well, let's take this little bit and let's write this down because we're going to look this up later. okay? It all comes back to, and I haven't said this in a little while, but it all comes back to self-responsibility. Right now, as everybody's situation is, they have to put their kids in the government-educated doojiwiki. Well, the government-educated doojiwiki doesn't necessarily tax the children. So, and I was kind of thinking about this earlier when I was doing the Monopoly thing in my head. It's like, you know, what if my parents had actually, like, made a pretty big deal out of the game Payday and actually, you know, made us play it like a 12-month to see how each, you know, how the kids, how us as children would come out at the end of the year, financially speaking, just based on a stupid board game. I mean, I had lazy parents. They gave me the game, and they're like, here, you play this and figure it out, you know? But if it had actually been like a family thing, and then we kind of charted it a little bit, you know, to kind of keep track of it a little bit, play a year at a time. This is the money you start with, and as the kids get older and as they become more in tune with it, that's when you change the rules to make it more of a challenge, but not necessarily like with the Monopoly thing earlier where individuals would be changing the rules or getting rules changed for their own benefit. In this case, the parents would be directing the rule change in order to make the game more of a challenge. For instance, adding savings into the scenario. I mean, there's a lot of ways that we can teach our kids and they still, you know, participate in the government indoctrination system. But what we're doing is we're creating little underground revolutionaries. You know, they understand that when the school system passes on the questionnaire that asks, do you have any guns in the house, whether you have them or whether you don't, the answer is no. You know? And what's really funny is, you know, I try to stay as credible as possible. I'll, you know, if I don't honestly believe something, I won't say it. Okay? I'm all about, you know, individual rights, individual responsibilities, individual self-defense. I'm all about that. Not just for me, but for everybody. Okay? And as long as I continue to speak from that standpoint, then I become credible in those areas. If the information I have has, you know, basis in fact, somewhere, you know, you might have to look for it, may have been hidden, or you may have to, you know, sit through an Alex Jones article where he's, what was that? Who was that today? Pachinik? Where they're talking about trying to do an internal soft coup of the U.S. federal government? I thought that was interesting, though I didn't listen to all of it.
Yeah, that's the guy that, he was an assistant secretary of the DOJ. DOJ was assistant attorney.
Well, from the information that I have, that guy is kind of like the source for the Jack Ryan character.
Well, he's got a lot of. He had a lot to say. I mean, it was a very interesting video, I thought.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
Let's hope it's true.
Well, I have more faith in that than I do in that whatever that Drake character was who was coming out here a couple of years ago talking about how, you know, they're going to reset the monetary system and all of that good stuff. But anyway, but we, you know, the solutions as far as I can tell, yeah, we have to actually start looking at. You know, and watch a football game, not a problem. Go to a football game, not a problem. But keep your eyes open and watch what's going on around you. You know?
Yeah.
Get together, if you're spending by growing your own food, if you're like, and if you ever started growing your own food, here's what happens. You start ending up with all kinds of stuff. More food than you could possibly eat and certain things. Pass that stuff out to the neighbors. Use it as a way to kind of, you know, feel out the neighbors. Because the EMP comes, okay, and I know that's, you know, the possibility of that's out there, but the probability is fairly low. But if something like that does happen, earlier I was talking about how, you know, you make decisions based for yourself, then you make decisions based on the community. Well, guess who your community is going to be? It's going to be your neighbors. Uh-oh. You mean that guy that I don't even know his name? See what I mean?
Yeah, we're
like
in
a
small Pennsylvania town here, and everybody does kind of know everybody.
Well, you know, small towns are like that. But, you know, it's like here in the Metroplex of DFW, a lot of folks don't really know who their neighbors are. What I find funny is there was somebody that got all preachy at one point in time and started putting notes on people's doors, you know, blasting them for their perceived sins. Yeah, it didn't take me long to figure out who that was, and they didn't really like it when I knocked on their own door and asked them what was up. What's the deal with this? And, you know, I did it from a standpoint of, hey, did you guys get one of these? Who's doing this kind of thing? I knew who it was. But, you know, it's like, he who has not sinned can cast the first stone. All right? And none of us are perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. Of course, now that what's one of the new Clinton things, the Lolita Express? Oh, that's new.
Yeah, well, that's
not
the plane that goes to the sex island there.
Yeah. I'm hoping, I'm really hoping that they go through the Clinton Foundation and they pull down as much of the federal shenanigans as they possibly can, the people that are involved with them. I'm really hoping that they do. I don't think they will. I think they'll get to a point that they're like, okay, we're going to stop here. And that's not going to solve the problem. That's just pulling the top of the weed.
Well, you know, as soon as they start grabbing people, they're going to start grabbing the tablecloth with good china on the table on the way when they're being dragged out of the room. And the china's going to hit the floor.
That's true. So, you know, the more we allow them to centralize the control in any area, the more power we give them over our lives, period.
If you look at what went on in the Philippines, they got their president. And the guy basically said, do what you want with drug dealers. You know, right or wrong, maybe some drug dealers or maybe some people who weren't drug dealers got hit and vendettas and stuff. But drug dealers are not happy campers in the Philippines right now. I'm not saying per se that, you know, that should be done here, you know, open season on drug dealers. But my point is that the people got the guy they want there. And he basically told America where to go. They want the U.S. Military out of there, and the public is demonstrating that they want the U.S. military out of there. I mean, thousands of people in Manila demonstrating that they want the U.S. bases closed. They want their country, and basically what Duarte was saying was screw the New World Order, and you know he went and visited China. And China noticed didn't give Obama even a ramp truck to get out of his airplane. They had to lower the thing into tail for him to walk down the steps.
And see, that's the other thing that they, you know, you catch little blips and blurbs about it, but they don't really carry it. They don't really talk about it. There have been times that national dignitaries, you know, when everybody's being greeted or whatever, and here comes Obama or they come to Obama. And they don't even bother to shake his hand.
Yeah, it's like,
our
it's like, oh, God.
Basically the laughingstock of the world at this point in time.
Yeah, it's like, hi, Barack. Oh, excuse me, I got to go talk to this person.
Right, yeah. Oh, I'll get back to you here in a minute. Yeah.
Go get us some punch. Quick,
okay. What else have we got? What else can we come up with here?
Well, my point is, you know, if they can do it, you know, they got basically 100 million people in Philippines, and they had one of the most corrupt governments in the world, you know, with Aquinos and what were their names?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I really don't know much about the Philippines at this point in time.
Well, anyway, they, you know, even with that many people, they managed to do a peaceful takeover of the government. Politicians are getting arrested left and right. The ones from the last administration are still in trouble. So,
well, that's what we need here.
It, you know, like I figured, it's the Clinton Foundation. It's just money laundering to the politicians. You know, I think you're going to find people on both sides of the aisle that are going to fall big time, and it's going to be very embarrassing to Washington. But you know, it's going to be like taking a pail of water out of a barrel. You know, it fills in with the rest of the water that's in the barrel. So you get the bad barrel or the bad water off, skim the bad water off the top, and you'll have the good water. Who knows? We'll see. But I have faith that if they get the corrupt people, and even if there's hundreds of them falling, there's going to be enough that are not implicated. You know, like, for instance, Rand Paul. I really think he's an honest man. I think Mike Lee is an honest man. Ted Cruz may be able to stay above water, you know.
That's questionable.
Yeah, I know. You know, they see CFR ties and everything else. But, you know, people like Trey Gowdy. I think Trey Gowdy's pretty clean. Who's the other guy? Tim Scott. You know,
well, we can always hope so, because if we leave the criminal cabal in charge, then nothing's going to get fixed. You know, there might be a 6 month or a 6 year, you know, break in some scenario, but it's just like what they say about the central bankers. You can take all of their money away and you can take all of their power, but if you still leave them with the ability to coin their money, they'll have it all bought back in a week.
That's right.
So, you know, we have to use some common sense. Just because NBC wants to jump up and down and say that, there's no such thing as voter fraud, yet every time we turn around, we're hearing about 10,000 people on this voter roll that have been dead for 150 years. You know,
another thing I noticed. Another thing I noticed today, people are putting in claims where they do actually hit the wrong button. Now, that kind of hurts the real voter fraud claim because, you know, they can debunk by the two or three instances, I hit the wrong button or this or that, or it turned out the person hit the wrong button and they had put something out on social media and, you know, it skyrocketed. But if that one instant wasn't true, that kind of takes away from the fact that there really is voter fraud, and there is, but all these false flags that are in there, almost like that when they get reported on, if somebody hears, oh, that was debunked, then they think, oh, all voter fraud is debunked, and it's not.
Right. And I've seen videos of where news crews have actually gone out, and they've shown, this was years ago, but they've shown where when you try to vote for one person, it actually votes for the other person. And that stuff started here recently. You know, if you try to vote straight Republican or use the straight Republican option or whatever it is, I don't know. But if you try
it
still puts a vote in for Hillary.
What
so
Larry
we've already seen
they used
evidence.
To, they used to do was when Bill Clinton was running in Arkansas, what they do is they go to a county and they say, okay, who's the guy who's the incumbent who's been elected by a landslide every time for the last 20 years, like the sheriff or something like that? You know, they knew he was going to get 99% of the vote. So all they did was rig the machine so that every time that guy would get a vote, it put a vote in for Clinton. And he said that's the way they did it.
Oh, there's an interesting Larry Nichols is, since you brought his name up.
Larry Nichols was a security guy for the Clintons back in the days when he was governor. and he was one of the confidants with the entourage.
And okay, now give him the
whistleblower now.
He's a whistleblower now, but he was a hitman for him at one point in time.
Yes. Oh, I didn't want to go that far, but yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and here's what I've discovered over time. You can try to sugarcoat it. You can try to soften it up, and when you do that, it just takes away. You know, it's like people, you know, discount, disbelieve, this whatever. No, this guy admits to being a hitman for the Clinton cartel.
Well, he was actually
and
CIA.
It's coming out,
that makes
and
it okay.
Well, whatever. The point being, he realized at one point in time, I think it was his father's failing health, and he looked at, you know, what he was doing and how his father would feel about it, and how he would feel if the drugs that he was helping, you know, the cocaine that he was helping to bring into the country, if his daughter
mm-hmm.
started using, how he would actually feel about it, and that's what turned him around.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got to have that point somewhere in them, you know. Well,
in order to turn over that leaf, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to have some realization. They have to get hit with some kind of. But see, a lot of our general population, they're not hit men running around doing dirty deeds. Okay, so they don't
Like George Soros, he had said years ago when people asked him about, you know, back in when he was a little kid, and
right.
you know he was actually Jewish himself, and he was condoning and actually helping. Because,
he was helping to turn in other Jews, track down other
right.
Jews.
What his justification in his own mind is, well, if I wasn't doing it, somebody else would be.
Well, and see, that was his justification at the time, yeah. And that's what he still claims, as I understand it.
Yeah. They feel that if they weren't doing it, they're better off being in that position than being in the receiving end.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who feel better to them than me. You know.
And see, these names that we're coming up with, they're not hard to find. People have been digging up this dirt on these people for a good long time. Larry Nichols has been dishing dirt on the Clintons for a good long time. But I know, you know, I still know people to this day that are like, oh, well, you know, all that stuff about Miss Clinton, that's all rhetoric. I love that.
It's unsubstantiated. How do you figure?
Yeah,
you know?
Unsubstantiated claims. Well, those lies were debunked last time she was elected. No, they weren't. It was just brushed up under the rug.
No, it was squelched. The whole
but
investigation
anyway.
Was squelched.
All right, well, I didn't have a whole lot planned for tonight. I was going to try to see how far I could push this Monopoly thing. And, you know, using games to actually teach our children. What's
that? You
could
that? Do that. You could just start posting, like post your scenario on a thing. And then, you know, you could add to it each week. Like, it doesn't have to be, it could be a Monopoly type game, but it doesn't have to be the exact format of Monopoly. You know,
right? Because then we'd have like I don't know.
You could let people elect representatives and start a Congress.
Well, as they built little corporations for their properties, they would almost have to elect somebody to run their little aspect of it and get dividend checks.
You know, there's got to be public services. There has to be utilities. You know, there has to be government. There's got to be a sheriff elected, and deputies, and, you know, perhaps mayors.
But still,
of towns
again, the only reason that I was even bringing that up or going down that path is, you know, we're looking for the necessarily the easy solution because it wouldn't be easy, but we're looking for the quickest solution or the best solution or whatever. I mean, do you try to go through piecemeal and undo all the damage that's done one line at a time? If you're looking at it, you know, from the standpoint
like
of laws
said,
and regulations.
You got to get those executive orders out of there. And, you know, that's another thing that Rand Paul said was his first day in office, he would cancel every executive order that was ever made.
And the declarations of war. I don't know,
Yep. Well, the state of war.
Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. There are people that are so clueless. And you know what? I think maybe there should be some level of, I don't know, I can't quite figure this one out yet. It's like if you have people that are uninformed trying to make decisions, how do you get around that? How do you fix that?
You got people in elected office who haven't got a clue.
I know.
They don't know what they're dealing with. They think they're dealing with a legitimate operation. And, you know, if somebody says, oh, you can't do that, they go, oh, okay. You know, why not?
Well, we need to find a solution. Somehow or another, we as a people need to find a solution, because otherwise we are going to end up like just about every dystopian novel that you've ever seen in one degree or another.
Well, you know, we've already got the departments in government that were originally set up. The alphabet agencies were not in that group. We have a Department of Treasury,
right.
You know.
Right.
They're the ones that are supposed to be coining money or printing.
And they've abdicated their responsibility.
They didn't really advocate it. It was kind of stolen. It was.
Well, Congress did.
You know, it was, you're going to do this or we're going to kill you. That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's wise to it. There was no communications back in 1913 and 1911 and 12. No, they
right.
did it on a
See, here's
on,
the thing that's always
Christmas
puzzled
break.
Me about that. Here's the thing that's always puzzled me about that. How come after the first of the year came around in 1914 and everything reconvened, why didn't someone say, you know what, this was done illegally and you are now going to be held in contempt or arrested or whatever? Why didn't any of that happen? That's one thing I'm
technically,
curious about.
Technically, there was enough people in Congress and they made sure they were the right ones in Congress at the time to vote it through. And they had,
they had
Wilson on board too, so, you know.
Ah, that's right. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Everybody said, I guess it's a good idea. We need something. You know, the economy is kind of terrible, so let's see how this works out. And then, the farmer in Indiana had no idea what was going on until probably years later, you know.
Right, and by then, their favorite line then is, well, we've been doing it for 20 years, and there's been no problem, so why are you grabbing about it now?
Yeah. Like I said, all they do is they just assume power, and everybody says, oh, they must be legit because they're in power. But they just showed up for work, you know?
Yeah. And nobody felt that they had the standing to throw them back out the door.
What was it, that Seinfeld episode where Kramer just started going to work at this place and everybody just assumed he worked there? Even the owners of the company, nobody knew who hired him or anything, but he just started working there. And he's advising people, he's going to meetings and stuff like that. No, he didn't get paid, but, but everybody thought he worked there. I forgot the outcome of the show, but it was a funny premise. He just started showing up there. You know, he put his suit and tie on and just started going to work. But everybody assumed he should be there. You know, that's
right.
Just a metaphor that I'm using, you know. I mean,
I kind of dodged the whole Friends and Seinfeld. I dodged all of that.
Yeah, but imagine if you, walked into the White House office building, you know, and pick the cubicle, an empty cubicle, and set your stuff up in there, with a laptop and stuff, and people all of a sudden would start saying, hey, do you have any idea about this or that? Or, you know, and then start listening to conversations and interjecting. You know, hey, yeah.
That would be interesting. Did we run Michael off completely? He's been awfully quiet there for a while.
I don't know. You don't have a console, do you?
No, not at the moment. I don't have the internet connection at this point in time.
Well,
I guess maybe we run
him off.
He
must be there somewhere. Hey, Mikey.
I don't know. Did we make him mad and he took his toys and went home?
I don't know. I didn't mean to. I don't think you meant to. Well, I know you didn't mean to.
I don't think so. Well, I didn't mean to either. But I think he's up there with his grandkids now, so maybe he got pulled away for this, that, or the other. So...
All right, I'll send you some PMs. I'll send you some information on stuff. Put something together for next week. It'll be after the election.
Yeah, the election's what? The election is next week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's next Tuesday.
So that's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I am kind of interested to see how that turns out.
Well, there'll probably be plenty to talk about, even if you don't have a set format for it. Just kind of say, well, the results are in.
Well, you know, this is kind of the way it usually goes. If I actually do put together a bunch of stuff, we don't ever get to it because
there's
it just turns
else.
Into a great clutch. Right. And then if I don't prepare anything, then nobody chose.
All right. Well, you're going to cash it in?
Well, I'm debating on that. My phone, my fabulous Sprint service, for whatever reason, I can't get on the internet while I'm on a call. So I guess, you know what, I guess I am going to call it at this point in time, and then I'll log in over the thing and shut it down. That's what I'm going to have to do.
We'll see you next week.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later. And to everyone else out there, thank you for stopping in. I still haven't set up the stuff that would do the email address and the phone numbers and all of that. I need to do that one of these days. Anyway, y'all have a good night, and we'll try back again next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.